into our fourth part of our Starting Strong series. This is all about helping you prepare for the year ahead. We're building that strong foundation in faith, and we're looking at the things that make us resilient. It's God, his qualities and his actions, his love, his grace, his peace. All of those things make us strong when we take them to heart. And there's a verse which summarizes this perfectly. It's Psalm 73:26. It says this: "My health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever." So our strength is not reliant on our physical bodies. Right? It's an inner strength. It's what's about in our heart. You know, and the heart, as the ancient Israelites understood it, is the seat of your decision-making. It's where you make choices about the world. It's where your worldview is. It's a place of your emotions and your desires. And if God's qualities are in that place, shaping your thoughts, shaping your desires, you're strong. Right? If God's love, his grace, his peace are in your heart, then you're strong. And it's important to realize that this is not something that we just conjure up ourselves. This is not about just gritting your teeth and persisting in your own strength. You'll hear athletes talk about that all the time, about how they had to dig deep and overcome some great challenge, how their opponent was playing really well, they're being really strong, but they dug deep and found some hidden inner strength to overcome. And we want to do that too. But for us, our strength comes from God. It says right there, God is the strength of our heart. So the Apostle Paul, he understood this well. And in his letter to the church in Ephesus, he encourages them by saying this: "I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, God will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit." So Paul is praying that the people in Ephesus would be empowered by the Holy Spirit. He doesn't tell them to dig deep and conjure up this strength for themselves. He prays that they would be filled with an inner strength that comes from God's presence. And I think because he knows God's presence is powerful. It's unbelievably, overwhelmingly powerful. This is the God who created everything in existence. His power is an unlimited resource. And it's theirs to draw upon. And that should give us pause for thought. You know, what if you could tap into that kind of power? You know, that's the kind of power that changes things in your life. That's the power that can transform your heart and make you strong. And so we want to take hold of that as best we can and draw from that resource. But I think a lot of us would probably say that we don't feel like we're tapping into that kind of power. You know, we aren't using that inner strength. And if I had to guess, I'd say it's because of this. Life is busy, we're often stressed, and there are lots of distractions. There's this huge pressure from the world telling us that our value is found in how much we can accomplish, how much money we can earn, how many things we own, that somehow doing more and having more equates to being more. And so for anyone connected to social media, I think that pressure is increased because we're constantly being bombarded with messages about other people's lives, about what they're achieving, where they went for their last holiday, and there's a desire to stay constantly connected to that kind of material. And so in 2018, there was a study done in the UK that reported that people check their smartphones on average every 12 minutes during their waking hours. That's a lot, right? And 40% of people said they checked their phones within 5 minutes of waking up. There's that constant desire to stay connected to what's happening in people's lives, social media, so on. And so everything, you know, from our busy day jobs to this obsession with scrolling through social media, there are lots of things that are keeping us preoccupied and preventing us from tapping into that inner strength that Paul talks about in that verse. And there's an example in the Gospels that I think highlights this problem that we face really clearly. It's in the Gospel of Luke. It's the story of Jesus visiting Mary and Martha. So we're going to turn there now. This is Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. If you want to read along, please do. I'm reading this in the New Living Translation, the NLT. It says this: "As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from her." So in this story, Jesus is welcomed into the home of a woman called Martha, who also has a sister called Mary. And this story is really about contrasting their two responses to Jesus. So on one hand, we see Martha, the homeowner, who's preoccupied with serving. She has this big dinner to prepare for all her guests. So she's concerned about that, making sure her house is in order. On the other hand, we see Mary, who has seated herself at Jesus' feet, continually listening to his teaching. She has given Jesus her undivided attention. Now, Martha is not happy that her sister has left her to take care of all the preparations by herself, because she sees those preparations as being the number one priority. And actually, at first glance, you know, this seems completely understandable to me. Like, she has a very important guest in her house and she wants to make sure he's taken care of. But Jesus challenges her actions and he says, "There is only one thing worth being concerned about." In other words, Jesus would prefer it if Martha was also spending time with him. And so Jesus isn't saying that serving others is bad. Actually, you'll find that Jesus thinks that serving others is really important. But it's not the number one priority. Jesus wants Martha first and foremost to spend time with him, listening to him, connecting with him. That's the priority. And so this is a really powerful example that shows us that important things can distract us, right? Important things can keep us busy and preoccupied. Martha isn't just serving her household. She's serving Jesus. That sounds really important to me. But what we find is that she was so preoccupied with doing things that she missed being with Jesus. It says Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. And so not only that, but Jesus notices that these distractions are causing Martha anxiety. He says, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details." Because she didn't seek Jesus first, all these things that she has to do are creating this stress and this worry in her life. So meanwhile, we see how Mary is contrasted with that state of anxiety. Mary is enjoying Jesus' presence. She's sitting at his feet, listening to him, having her heart transformed, becoming strong. In its simplest terms, what Mary is doing there is giving God her attention, first and foremost. Now, Jesus, in his time on earth, he lived by example. We all know that. He even took time to give God his attention. And so Jesus took time to pull back from the important things in his daily life to spend extended time with God. I'm going to show you a few examples of that. In the Gospels, we see Jesus doing a lot of traveling, a lot of preaching, a lot of healing. And in one example, we see him visit a town called Capernaum, where the whole town comes out to receive healing. Right? And it's before Jesus moves on to that next town, it says this: Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. We see when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had died, Matthew's gospel says this: Jesus went up into the hills by himself to pray. We also know that people were following him everywhere he went, you know, wanting to hear him speak, constantly seeking his attention. It would have been exhausting. And in that context, Luke 5:16 says this: Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. And so what this is telling us is that Jesus often withdrew to these isolated places so that he could pray. And he does this at times when the busyness and the stress of life seem like they're starting to take over. He does it when he needs time to reflect on the loss of a friend. You know, he does it when he's been working hard all day teaching and preaching. He does it after having to face challenging circumstances. Jesus took time to remove himself from the busyness and the stress of life so that he could give God his undivided attention. And this might come as a surprise because for a lot of us, solitude is seen as something to be avoided. And I think mainly because we dislike being unproductive. You know, we don't feel like we're accomplishing anything by doing this. And so we can make ourselves believe that our time is better spent doing something else. But solitude is more than just about being alone. And at the heart of it, it's really about getting away from distractions. What Jesus is showing us in these verses is that a place of solitude is somewhere where we're able to tune out distractions, right? And we have the power to ignore them. And so what Jesus does in that place of solitude is that he prays. Right? He gives God his undivided attention. Because when we're alone, without those distractions, we put ourselves in a position to tap into that inner strength that Paul talks about. It's a place where you can cast your anxieties on Jesus, like it says in 1 Peter. You can let go of that stress, surrender control of things in your life that are causing you anxiety, things that are vying for your attention. It's a place where you can ask God questions, look for guidance. It's somewhere that God can reveal things to you that you might not notice in your normal day-to-day interactions. It's a place where you're reminded of God's qualities, a place where you can let that Holy Spirit take hold of your desires and your thoughts and shape them. You know, it's a place where we can meditate on God's word. And so we do all that with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's what makes us strong. And so there are so many things in this world that are constantly vying for our time and attention. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, are those things becoming more important than spending time with God? More than your job, more than your studies, more than your social events, is spending time with God your number one priority? And those things that are distracting us are, for the most part, not inherently bad things. You know, dedicating time to your work, studying hard, connecting with your friends and family, they're actually all good things. But are we making those things a higher priority than spending time with God? That's what this is about. So if you want to start the year strong, I'd say this. Find a place of solitude and give God your undivided attention. In Luke 10, Jesus says, "There is only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it." So in the midst of the busyness of, and stress of life, in the midst of constant distractions, Mary took the time to sit at Jesus' feet, to learn from him, to enjoy his presence, having her heart transformed and becoming strong. So in other words, Mary discovered that coming first to God and giving him her undivided attention was the way to tap into that inner strength. And that's an inner strength that would prepare her actually for the busyness and the stress of life. But like most things in life, the idea here is simple, but living it out can be a challenge. And so Jesus shows us a really practical way to make this a reality in our lives by finding a place of solitude. It's the place where we can shut out the distractions and just talk to God. And so if you want to start the year strong, then I just invite you into this very simple process. Firstly, find a place of solitude. Now for Jesus, when he saw things were getting too much, too stressful, he would climb the nearest mountain, he'd row a boat out into the middle of the lake. That's not a practical option for most of us. Jesus had to do that because there were thousands of people following around all the time. But for us, I think this is just about finding a quiet place, right? A room where you can be by yourself, a peaceful walk that you can go on. You know, even in a busy home, there's usually a room where you can shut the door so that you won't be disturbed. You know, I'd say turn off your phone, you know, or if you feel like it will be such a temptation, don't even take it with you. Don't let the temptation to check your devices interrupt this time with God. And then find a comfortable position, you know, relax into this somewhere you feel relaxed. At home, You know, for me, this looks like having a bath. Sam's gone to bed. Sarah's got the baby monitor. My phone's off. You know, this is relaxing, peaceful kind of time. If I'm at work, this is going for a peaceful walk. I'll just take that 10, 15 minutes to get out of the building, you know, away from the emails, away from the background chatter, away from the emails and the phone calls. Find that place of solitude. That's a really important first step. And then start with a simple prayer. I don't think we have to make this really complicated. Just start by telling God how much you love him. And dwell on that for a moment. Repeat it again and again. And just rest in the comfort that brings you, telling God how much you love him. And then spend some time laying down your burdens. You know, during this time, for me, I know that all those things that are, you know, in the shallows floating around, all the burdens, the things that are causing me stress, are floating around in my mind. So just lay them down before God. You know, tell him what they are and rest them at his feet. You know, all these things that are distracting you, I'd say, you know, say, God, I give everyone and everything to you. You know, the heartbreak, the crisis, the trauma, whatever it is, take all of it and lay it down at his feet, knowing that God can carry it. You know, he's infinite, we're finite. Say, God, I give you everyone and everything. And then in that place where you're free of distractions, tap into that inner strength, which is the Holy Spirit. All right, spend some time just becoming aware of God's presence within you. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Ask for his strength, recognizing that this is not a physical strength. This is an inner strength that comes from God's presence. And that presence inside of you is powerful, right? Unbelievably, overwhelmingly powerful. This is the God who created everything in existence. His power is an unlimited resource, and it's yours to draw upon. So just find that place of solitude and give God your undivided attention. That's the revelation I'd hope you take from this morning. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we come before you this morning, we just declare that we love you, Lord. We thank you so much for all those amazing things that you've done in our life, how you've provided for us, how you've sheltered us. Lord, the peace that you give us, the joy that you give us. And we just declare this morning, Lord, that we love you. We just want to dwell on that for a moment, recognizing that all good things have come from you. We thank you so much for that, Lord. And as those things in our life that are causing us to be busy and stressed, the things that are distracting us from connecting with you, Lord, we take hold of those and lay them at your feet. We declare, Lord, that you have the power to carry those burdens, and we lay them down at your feet, Lord. Everything that's causing us worry and anxiety, all the crises, all the stress, everything, Lord, we lay them down, knowing that you have the power to take hold of them. And we pray, Lord, that in this place, free of distractions, that you would empower us with your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that from your glorious, unlimited resources, that you would empower us with inner strength through your Holy Spirit.